knew coming in that we're playing the team that was number one in the SEC a year ago, and as Coach Berger said, it was his fastest team ever. And looking at the tape, and certainly Thursday night at the game, you could see that was true. But I thought we'd do a little better job up front. Certainly, we got the thing going in the second half. We made some sustained drives, which we had to have. But, one of them, our best drive at night, we started on the 11-yard line and just couldn't get anything out of it. We got a field goal, and then certainly at the end, when you throw the ball, as we did, those four the four times we went to throw it, you don't make three catches that you have a chance to make. If you had told me that we dropped three, or not catch three, I wouldn't have believed it at the end of the night. But I became a believer after I saw it.
Offensive line protection, I really thought that was a huge key in the game. And I didn't watch maybe close enough before Jake went out of the game, but I really tried to watch that afterwards because, you move a left guard to left tackle and the backup left guard comes in. How much of an issue do you think, how much of a factor do you think that was?
Well, it's a factor because, if Jake was in the lineup, then he was part of our best lineup. So, weakens your lineup a little bit, but that's still, those kids, we expected to play Julian left tackle anyway some, and we'd have to substitute a left guard. So it's, we have to be better in those situations. Injuries are going to happen, and we're not going to use that as an excuse. As I said, the second half, with that line intact, we got better and made some first downs and got some things going. We just didn't get ourselves on the board to win the game.
Something that I know the coaches always look for is how a team bounces back, how they respond in practice. What have you noticed about your team's attitude since then?
Well, they've been fine. Kids come back a lot quicker than us older individuals. It kind of sticks with us a little longer. But, they practice, and, I think we got off to a slow start on Tuesday, and we were much better yesterday, so hopefully we can finish the week off right this afternoon so that we'll give ourselves a chance to go on and win this football game.
I'm not trying to disrespect Murray State or Gardner Webb at all, but looking at your schedule, if you were going to have a performance like that, I would think week one would be the time to do that, given that you're so far away still from conference play.
Well, it doesn't matter who we play. I mean, we have to go out and we have to get better. The thing this week was to block and tackle. I mean, basic fundamentals. We have to do those two things better. And I said to the team, this is a journey. We just took one step. We've got 11 more to go. And the idea is to get better each and every week. And so that's what we have to do. It doesn't matter who you play on Saturday. We'll game plan for what they do on offense.
The Talk FM 94.3 WTIV presents.
Like a ghost on the wind, he comes from the sea and trembles the foe like a storm on the lee. With swashbuckling swagger and a Jolly Roger laugh, he flies the black flag on a whalebone staff. He has a black-patched eye and a ring in his ear, and on his wind-burned face a crusty, grizzled beard. From East Carolina, victories are told of the spirit of the pirate and his purple and gold.
From the heart of pirate country, WTIV Pirate Game Day Countdown is on the air. Patrick Johnson.
We're live today from Buffalo Wild Wings, the only place in town you need to be to watch the Pirates and the Mountaineers play today from Morgantown. They'll have it for you right here. Former Pirate Matt Butler and I will scout today's game for you. We'll also hear from Denny O'Brien of Bonesville.net, Nate Summers of the Greenville Daily Reflector, an inside look at the Pirates secondary with Coach Rick Smith. We'll hear from Skip Holtz and a lot more as we get you set for the Pirates and Mountaineers from Buffalo Wild Wings is where we are today in the Arlington Shops.
This is Pirate Game Day Countdown.
You've heard about Springshire, the newest retirement community coming to Greenville. Springshire has just announced that reservations for lakeside units are in high demand. Lakeview and Nature Area apartments are nearly sold out. In fact, only one third floor and two first floor Lakeview apartments are left. This is great news. Springshire will be built in close proximity to Pitt County Memorial Hospital, adjacent to Ironwood Country Club. Springshire will include homes, villas, and apartments, complete health care, nature areas, gardens, movie theater, lake, and a short walk to the first tee. This is truly a new style in retirement living coming to Eastern Carolina. A social model community that will include residents in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Contact Springshire now for more information. Don't wait. There are only a limited number of premium Lakeview units left. Contact Ron Carnigan at 317-2303 or go to springshire.org for more information. Find out why everyone is saying Springshire is the place you want to be.
Ew, get the stinky dog away from me.
Healthy dogs don't stink. Healthy dogs eat dynamite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, the enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
859-428-1000.
Tons of energy, no more bad smells. DINOVITE.com.
One adult has difficulty writing a letter or understanding what they read. Others struggle to communicate because of their lack of English speaking skills. If you experience any of these problems or know someone who does, we can help. At Literacy Volunteers Pitt County, our goal is to improve adult literacy in our community by providing free classes open to the public. Our trained instructors provide small group tutoring in a variety of programs, such as pre-GED classes, reading and writing, comprehension, math and computer skills, as well as English as a second language courses. Call 252-353-6578 or email info@pittliteracy.org. to find a class that's right for you. In no time, you'll be able to do the things you want to do, filling out job applications, reading bedtime stories to your children, or speaking English. Call 252-353-6578. Literacy Volunteers Pitt County, serving adult learners in Pitt County for over 20 years.
And now for the bonus round. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What does a pear prevent?
Hard feelings.
Correct. If you multiply...
the square root of 19.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
I know. Over 1 billion.
Correct.
Yes.
Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose movies online and get DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial. Plans now from only $4.99 a month. Netflix. It's that easy.
Pirate Game Day Countdown with Patrick Johnson and Matt Butler.
Inside Buffalo Wild Wings, Arlington Chops here in Greenville. Today it's ECU at West Virginia. Pirates looking for their first win in Morgantown ever. And we'll get you ready for this one, which kicks off at 3:30 this afternoon. But first, a check of the Bojangles scoreboard. A lot of college football action going on here in the early going. And with that, here is Smith Hardy.
Halftime is number 19, North Carolina trailing Connecticut 3-0. With little under 9 minutes in the second quarter is number 1, Florida, leading Troy 14-3. At the half is number 7, Penn State, leading by 2 touchdowns over Syracuse 14-0. At halftime, it's Stanford leading Wake Forest 17-3. Duke at Army, and Duke is trailing Army by 3. It's 10-7. Almost half in East Lansing is Central Michigan trailing Michigan State 17-13. And Pittsburgh and Buffalo is 30. Pittsburgh 34 and Buffalo 20. At the half is Fresno State leading Wisconsin 21-17. Number 14, Virginia Tech hosts Marshall. The Herd is 0-2 versus the Hokies since 2002. This game will be underway at 1:30. Number 5, Oklahoma State, with its highest AP ranking since the 85 season, plays Houston. Houston's a team that can score in bunches. That game is set for 3:30. Number 9, BYU, coming off an upset over Oklahoma last weekend, visits the Green Waves of Tulane at 3:30. At 4 p.m., it's SMU taking on UAB. Three matchups set for 7 p.m. include Memphis at Middle Tennessee State, UCF traveling to Southern Miss, and Rice bailing out for the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. At 7:30 p.m., it's number 24, Kansas, visiting UTEP and El Paso. 30 minutes later, Tulsa plays in New Mexico. In the ACC, number 19, North Carolina, makes a road trip to UConn. The Tar Heels dismantled the Huskies last season in Chapel Hill with the help of three block punts by Bruce Carter. That game has already kicked off and is at a half. A pair of ACC games are underway as Duke traveling to Army in Winston, and in Winston-Salem is Wake taking on Stanford. Kent State travels to Boston College, game time set for 2 p.m. Number 16, TCU, travels to Charlottesville to take on UVA. Al Groh is the coach on the hottest seat right now. The night games feature a trio at 6 p.m. at Jacksonville State versus Florida State. James Madison visiting Maryland, and NC State taking on Murray State. Thursday night featured an ACC showdown in Atlanta between number 15, Georgia Tech, and Clemson. Georgia Tech would win that one in the last seconds of the fourth quarter, 30-27. Top 25, second-ranked Texas travels to Wyoming, and the big showdown tonight is Columbus features number 3, USC, and number 8, Ohio State. USC is 11-1 in his first road game, and freshman quarterback Matt Barkley makes his first road start in a hostile environment. That game, 8 o'clock, ABC.
And that's your Bojangles scoreboard with Smith Hardy. Thank you. Good job there, Smith. Boy, a big shootout between Pittsburgh and Buffalo there. We will have scores for you throughout the day on the Bojangles scoreboard coming up here on our Pirate Game Day Countdown. Well, TCU and West Virginia today from Morgantown. The Pirates and the Mountaineers are meeting for the 21st time today. East Carolina snapped a 7-game losing skid to the Mountaineers last year in Greenville, spanking WVU 24-3. Now, today's game going to be streamed on ESPN 360, and the only place to catch it right here at BW3's in the Arlington Chops. 50-some-odd screens. They got great drink specials and all the wings you can eat here today. All the college football action you want to catch all season long. Also, it's the place to be for the first NFL Sunday of the season right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Well, let's bring in offensive lineman Matt Butler. A lot of us were pretty disappointed after last week's second-half swoon that allowed a pretty good Appalachian State team to get back in the game after ECU had that explosive first half. To a man, I'm sure the Pirate players were not pleased with that turn of events. What do you think's been done this week to maybe re-salvage some of the confidence and momentum that the Pirates seem to have coming out of camp?
Well, let's go ahead and let's give some credit to Appalachian State and their program. Coach Jerry Moore and his staff have done an outstanding job there, winning three straight national championships and beating a Michigan team, a talented Michigan team. You can say what you want to about Michigan, but they have the players and the talent there, and they beat them in the big house. I think after I let down the second half, Coach Holtz probably talked to his players this week about finishing. Coach Holtz does a good job talking about going 1-0, not only one game at a time, but one play, one quarter, and one game at a time, and focus on what you have to do each and every snap. It was unusual to see ECU come out so flat in the third quarter. Statistically speaking, they're an outstanding third quarter team. They usually come out strong. Had to give a lot of credit to Coach Golden and his staff, conditioning the players. Coach Holtz, I believe this week, went back to his fundamentals and focusing on what they have to do to get better, not necessarily West Virginia. Let's go back to what we have to do as a team to get better. And being that App State runs a similar offense to West Virginia, I think it's going to give the Pirates some confidence playing against Appalachian State as well.
Well, they've already seen it before, no doubt. Coach Holtz saying that the team's opening day situation, despite the second half comeback by App, was a positive one.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that we can improve on as a football team. As I said after the game, it was a great opening day situation for us to be in because I think we kind of got some answers on some of the players and some guys got an opportunity to get their feet wet. But at the same time, I really like the attitude of where this team is right now.
Well, Coach Holtz really liked the way his team and the way this week the Pirates refocused, as you heard there. It seems that will be the case. Now, a daunting task in heading to West Virginia, a very tough environment. The Pirates certainly will need to be sharp. Patrick Pinckney not sharp at the quarterback spot last week. A decent enough start for Pinckney, but the Fayetteville senior ended up going just 12 for 27, two picks, and only 136 yards. It's been an uneven career for Pinckney. He's either been brilliant at times pretty bad. So the search for consistency continues into a sixth season. Matt, should we expect a little more maybe from a six-year senior at quarterback, or is it a case of we kind of know what we're going to get out of Patrick Pinckney, and that's what we saw last week?
Well, I think, a six-year experienced senior quarterback coming back for a six-year, like we said, you should expect more out of him. He is a senior. He's a captain on this team. And Patrick, he's been a leader not only on the field but off the field, and he's been a role model. And he's gone through a lot of adversity and has responded to it. But if ECU is going to be able to run the table this year and get to a BCS bowl, Pinckney's going to have to play better.
Are you predicting a BCS bowl?
I don't want to say that yet. Let me watch this game, and I'll let you know. But like today, it's going to be a big game. If Patrick could play a good game, it would be a big confidence boost for Patrick, given the game he played at Appalachian State. But I know he feels bad about his performance, being a player and playing with him. I know he takes it really hard, and I fully expect him to step to the challenge this week. But when you get down the red zone, when Patrick got down there leading this offense, you're not being able to run the ball. You got to be able to step up and make those throws, and you can't have turnovers in the red zone.
Now, as a member of the media, I'm going to quote you and say you said BCS bowl.
Yes.
I'm going to quote you on that. Now, Pinckney inefficient, 22 for 28 last year, 236 yards when the Pirates beat West Virginia at Dowdy Ficklett Stadium. And we'll have more on Pinckney's play with Denny O'Brien of Bonesville.net coming up in our next segment as the DOB joins us live from Morgantown. Rate what you saw out of the offensive line. You're a former offensive lineman. Like the rest of the team, it's kind of a tale of two halves for those guys up front.
Well, just Coach Shankwell has done an outstanding job for the Pirates, not only developing me as a player, but the guys he has now. He's got a senior veteran group of players up front, Sean Allen, Corey Dallas. They all have great game experience, and they're big guys up front. But in the first half, they rushed for over 150 yards, but the total game, they rushed for 189 yards. So statistically, it looks like they rushed. They did a good job, but that was just in the first half.
Yeah.
But like I said, so just like the rest of the team, they've got to learn how to finish. And that's like I said about Coach Holtz. He's such a good coach. He's able to refocus his players on being 1-0 and coming out now. I believe against West Virginia, they're not going to let that happen in the second half. And especially playing against this style of spread option style of offense, West Virginia, you've got to be able to run the football and keep our defense off the field. Just like last week, second half, we couldn't keep our defense off the field. We got stuffed at the run, and our defense got tired, which it showed with a couple of our guys cramping. So we got to be able to run the football, and I think that's going to be one of the big keys to this game.
You talked about it. The defense spent an awful lot of time on the field. About two-thirds of the second half, they were on the field defensively last week. Now, West Virginia, and you touched on this, Matt, they run a similar offense to what Appy State runs. Is that going to be a problem today, you think, or is it just a case of the defense last week just couldn't get any rest? They were on the field so long, they kind of got worn down.
Well, West Virginia and App State, like you said, we do run a similar style of offense. Only difference being West Virginia this year uses more of their tight end. But being able to play against West Virginia in the last couple of years, and play them in Morgantown, and play them ECU, and we did a good job with them last year, it's going to we have an advantage now, being able to. We just played Appalachian State. We're experienced with it. We know what we're doing. And I know Coach Hudson and his staff, he's been a great defense coordinator for us. I know he's got these guys prepared for this week.
Well, it seems like, too, West Virginia maybe is going to throw the ball a little more than what Appalachian State did last week. They're down to the third-string quarterback. That guy was just running the ball last week.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see a little bit more of that in terms of West Virginia throwing the football this week. Overall, pretty pleased with what you saw in week one. I know week one's always a different. We had high expectations, fans, the players, the coaches. What did you think what you saw last week? Were you pleased with the week one? A win's a win.
Yeah, a win's a win, like Coach Hall said. Going 1-0 is what you want to be. And he said in his press conference, only 50% of the teams can say they're 1-0. So that's never bad.
Yeah.
A win's a win. And Appalachian State, like I said, that's a good team. You don't down them just because they're at a lower level. That's a great team. Coach Holtz and his staff, I know they're excited about going back to Morgantown and getting some revenge, because we haven't had any luck there in the past. So it's going to be exciting to see how the guys perform this week.
I think it's going to be a good game today, and we will talk about it all day long right here on our Pirate Game Day Countdown. Well, we'll talk a lot more about the Mountaineers, a team that's won 58 of their last 72 games, during Rich Rodriguez era. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings, the Arlington Shops. Your chance to watch the game today, only right here on ESPN 360 right here. Come on out. We'll have the game for you beginning at 3:30 this afternoon. Bonesville.net columnist Denny O'Brien with the game straight ahead. The DOB also will be with us. Give us a dining update where he grubbed last night in Pittsburgh. We'll take a break. Come back. This is Pirate Game Day Countdown.
Agri Supply of Greenville. Don't let the name fool you. They stock over 26,000 items for farm, shop, and home. Get ready for the big game at Agri Supply of Greenville. You'll find values on products ranging from sporting goods and outdoor cooking supplies to lawn and garden supplies, pet and equine, to truck accessories, shop tools, and much more. Come see the large selection of burners, cast iron stew pots, skillets, grill accessories, and other tailgate items. If you are a hunter, we have a large selection of deer stands, hunting apparel, and just the right mix of feed and grasses to get your food plot ready for that big buck. You'll find good, old-fashioned customer service, honesty, and integrity at Agri Supply of Greenville. Compare Agri Supply before you buy. Visit Agri Supply, Highway 264 East in Greenville. Monday through Friday, 7:30 till 5:30. Saturday, 7:30 till 5.
Hey, 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 Jimmy Football from Bud Light here, and I'm going to turn your next tailgate into an awesome gate. Because here at Bud Light, we're committed to maximizing your football enjoyment. How about a natural fake grass can koozie? We got them! Just go to tailgateapproved.com. Yeah! And hey, what's missing from your tailgate party?
What?
Tail! Now with the Bud Light Tailgate Companion, your best friend can bring you everything you need for the party.
Now when I want ketchup on my dog, I just call my dog. Thanks, dog.
You're welcome, football fan. Just look for me wherever Bud Light is sold and go to tailgateapproved.com for unbelievable deals all season long. Could I make this up? Yes. Am I? No way. Because Bud Light is...
Tailgate
approved!
Tailgate approved items are available while supplies last at tailgateapproved.com. Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Sarah Watkins is 81 years old. She lives alone in apartment 2B and spends her days listening to her neighbors going by in the hall. Neighbors who almost help her get along. Just the other night, Jim Lawrence next door almost brought Sarah dinner. Maggie Klein in 7D almost drove her to the doctor for a checkup. And yet another neighbor almost took the time to read Sarah the headlines. All of these people almost gave to Sarah Watkins. Almost gave of their time, their kindness, but they were too busy, they forgot. They almost gave. And Sarah Watkins almost had her first hot meal in days. Almost got to see a doctor. Almost heard a friendly voice. Don't almost give. Give. To find out how, visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council.
Counting you down to the Pirates and Mountaineers, it's Pirate Game Day Countdown with Patrick Johnson and Denny O'Brien on WTIB.
Our colleague Denny O'Brien up in Morgantown as ECU gets set to take on West Virginia. It's our Pirate Game Day Countdown. We are originating, of course, from Buffalo Wild Wings, Arlington Chops here in Greenville today. Matt Butler rejoining us in just a bit. But DOB, today's game against West Virginia, an opportunity for the Pirates to have a winning streak against the Mountaineers, something they've not had in quite a while. Let's just start with the overall question. Can ECU, what you saw last week and what you've seen out of West Virginia and scouted out of them this week, the Pirates have a chance to get a winning streak against this West Virginia team today? This is not the Rich Rod WVU teams.
Yeah, and it's not even your Don Nealon WVU team. They just absolutely dominated East Carolina historically. And can East Carolina win today? Yeah, I think that they can. Not if they played like they played the last three quarters against Appalachian State last week. I think the Pirates have to be much more crisp on offense. Patrick Pinckney has got to, he's got to at least show up. You know, he did not show up in that game last week against Appalachia State. And what probably is going to be, you know, one of the bottom two or three defenses that East Carolina is going to face personnel-wise.
Here's my concern late in the game. I don't know if this was asked of Skip Holtz or not this week, but end of the game, Pirates are up. It's that five-point spread before App gets the ball back one last time. And ECU is running a no-huddle passing offense. Why?
Well, I think that they saw that they weren't going to be able to run Appalachian.
Yeah, but you huddle at least.
I'm not disputing that. But this has become, if you will notice that, if you will notice the way that this team played on Saturday, this looks like it has become a no-huddle pistol formation offense.
Well, that's fine, but you got to be able to do other things, wouldn't you agree?
I agree, but if this offense is going to be almost exclusively a no-huddle pistol formation offense, and that's what they want to do and it's what they are going to do, then I don't think that they're going to change it up regardless of the situation. You run some clock in those situations.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm getting at. Even if you're going to throw the ball, it's fine, but huddle and throw the ball.
Wait, now, you don't even have to huddle. You can stand at the line of scrimmage and let the play clock run down, which is what they did on a lot of occasions.
Sure.
You know, they ran it down to five. I mean, you don't have to huddle. I mean, huddling has become very overrated and unnecessary in college football because they're at the line of scrimmage. They're calling the plays from the sideline. The quarterback's getting them. And then, you know, essentially walking up and down the line of scrimmage and shouting out the play. So I don't think the huddle is a necessity. I think the most discouraging detail about that was that on two consecutive first downs they threw the ball. You know, in that situation, why are you not running it on first down? And I have no problem with them not huddling as long as they're not, as long as they're letting the play clock run down. I mean, you can call a play in the line of scrimmage, or you can call them huddling. The important thing is to let that play clock run down. And in those situations, you've got to run on first down. And the other thing that I think is a problem, you've got to be one double A team. You should be able to run it.
Yeah. We're huddling with Denny O'Brien, Bonesville.net columnist. D.O.B. will be back with us some live next week as we'll have the game from Chapel Hill next week in the pregame show from Panera Bread. D.O.B. Will be back in Greenville with us for the UCF game. We'll be at Uncle Yammy's, but that comes up in a couple weeks. Right now he's in Morgantown, West Virginia, getting ready for the ECU and West Virginia game coming up at 3:30 this afternoon as we are counting you down to kick here on our Pirate Game Day Countdown. Then he got Brandon Jackson, didn't play any in the first quarter, probably the most effective running back. He ran really well in the first 15 minutes of the game. You got Jonathan Williams. We know the troubles that he's had off the field. The best two running backs right now seem to be in a bit of a doghouse.
Yeah, I mean, clearly these guys are not on the field, not because of their ability. Clearly Brandon Jackson and Jonathan Williams, which I would actually rank them Williams one Jackson two.
Yeah.
In this running back stable. Clearly, those are the best two guys they can put on the field. I mean, and Williams brings you, the reason I rate him number one, and he brings you that big playability, the explosion factor. I know that Brandon Jackson was able to, you know, break the long one for his first, on his first career carry for the touchdown against App, but, you know, Williams just gives you a lot more explosiveness, and he's just as physical, if not more physical, but you know, these guys have to understand their role. They have to understand that coaches call plays. They need to run those plays where they're supposed to go. And when you don't do that, you're going to find yourself over there on the sideline watching what happens. Dominic Lindsey plays the bulk of the way with a hurt shoulder because he runs the plays that the coach is asking to. He does, you know, he does it without questioning, you know, any authority. So, yeah, I think Jonathan and Brandon both have to show a little bit more maturity in that regard. And when they do, then I think you're going to see them being the two that carry the football the most.
Denny O'Brien of Bonesville.net with this Pirate Game Day Countdown. Denny, Patrick Pinckney, up and down throughout his career. We both personally like this kid a lot. We had a great interview with him in our preseason show. Just as delightful a person as you want to come across. So it's hard to be critical of the guy, but his play last week certainly left a lot to be desired. The coaching staff sticking with him. Are you sticking with him at this point?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I will say this. I am crazy about Patrick Pinckney, the person. I don't think that there is a a better, or at least too many better guys on that team in terms of leadership, just all-around likability. That said, I've never been fully crazy about Patrick King as a quarterback. You know, and it's not because he's small.
It just doesn't seem like there's any improvement there, Denny. A guy in his sixth year, and we talked about this last week on the show, he doesn't necessarily need to do the spectacular, but he needs to do the things to put this team with all of its weapons in a position to be effective.
Right, but I will live to say now, you know, if East Carolina has these high aspirations, wants to repeat in Conference USA after seeing what some of these league schools did last week to 1AA competition and other teams, yeah, I would say they do need a quarterback to do some things spectacular to put them at another level.
Is this the guy, though?
You know, I don't know. He's never been good at throwing the deep ball. You know, he struggles when opposing defenses hem him in the pocket. You know, he doesn't get the ball there very quickly. And I think one of the things that we saw against Appalachian was he tried to throw it into some windows that weren't open. That caused one interception. He threw it behind Jamal Bryant and on one pass, which, you know, you could say that maybe Jamal Bryant should have caught that pass, and maybe, you know, 85% of the time he does, but it was a little bit behind him. You know, Jamar got a hand on it, and then it popped in the air and got intercepted. So he's got to be much more crisp against West Virginia for East Carolina to have a chance, and he's got to be a playmaker. For every 407-yard outing that we've had against North Carolina, we've had that dud like we saw against Appalachian. He's really inconsistent, and I think that's just what you have to expect with Patrick King. That said, I think that this coaching staff needs to be preparing Josh Jordan to get in there and get a series or two. I think he needs to get a series up at West Virginia, especially if Patrick King is struggling early. I think you insert Josh Jordan. He's more athletic. He's taller. He seems to have a nice touch on his pass. Let's see what he does in the high school environment. Let's remember this. Patrick Pinkney's first ever game day experience came in Blacksburg. I think that's just as possible as Morgantown, West Virginia.
All right, Denny, last thing for you in this block as we talk to Denny O'Brien of Bonesville.net. Last week, West Virginia runs the exact same thing essentially Appalachian State does. Pirates defensively struggled with it. They were on the field a lot, in fairness, for much of that second half, particularly the third quarter, seemed to get worn down. Is this going to be a problem today?
Well, I don't think Jarrett Brown's going to run it as much as we saw Travaris Cadet. He's not as quick. You know, he's a bigger guy. He's a little more physical. And I think they want to throw the ball with him a little bit more. So I would expect to see more downfield passing than we saw last week. And ultimately, their offense is centered around getting the ball into the hands of Noel Devine in space. And this is ultimately going to come down to East Carolina's ability to keep things in front and to tackle well in space. The Pirates do that well today, then I think they can have some success. If they don't tackle well, if the Pirates don't keep the ball in front of them, it could be a long day and we'll get these quick hitters for West Virginia.
Yeah, should be an interesting day today. Did you get to go to your favorite restaurant in Pittsburgh, your favorite Italian place, while you were up there?
You know, they closed that place
what?
Down.
What?
They closed it down where we had to go to Mad Max, which is a Mexican joint here in Pittsburgh. Nate Summers and I like to frequent when we come to town. Now that our Italian is closed down.
That was
about a bummer.
I know. That was a good place. You guys told me all about it. I don't ever get to go on these trips, but I got to hear about it. So, all right, DLB, later on we're going to talk a little college football, and then later in the show get your keys to the game. So we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Sounds good.
Right now let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
No static at all. The new Talk FM, 94.3 WTIV, Bond Hill, Greenville, Washington.
What's going on around college football? Smith Hardy's going to tell you the scores.
We have a score update with a little under 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. It's North Carolina trailing Connecticut 3-0. Also going on is, with a little under 11 minutes to play in the third quarter, is Indiana leading Western Michigan 17-14. With under 7 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Penn State blanking Syracuse 21-0. Fresno State is leading Wisconsin. That's 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. With under 13 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Duke trailing Army 10-7. With under a minute to go in the second, with the third quarter, it's 35-3 over Troy. And we have Central Michigan at 14 with under 15 minutes to go in the third quarter, trailing Michigan State 17-13. Stanford leading Wake Forest 17-3 with 12 minutes to go in the third quarter. With under 13 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Pittsburgh leading Buffalo 34-20. At the half, it's Iowa leading Iowa State 14-3. Kicking off now, it's Kent State at Boston College. A top 10 matchup in the second weekend of the college football season. Third-ranked USC takes its first road trip of the season to the Horseshoe to take on number 8-ranked Buckeyes of Ohio State. Last season, the Buckeyes got housed by USC 35-3. ACC games kicking off later this afternoon at 3:30. It's number 16 TCU taking on UVA. Three games kicking off at 6, which include Jacksonville State versus Florida State, James Madison visiting Maryland, and NC State taking on Murray State. In Conference USA, a 3:30 tilt, it's number 5 Oklahoma State in Houston. Also at 3:30, it's number 9 BYU traveling to New Orleans to take on Tulane. 4 p.m. kick features SMU and UAB. At 7 p.m., it's Memphis at Middle Tennessee State, UCF traveling to Southern Miss, and Rice taking on Texas Tech in Lubbock. 30 minutes later is number 24 Kansas playing UTEP in El Paso. Capping off Saturday's games and conference play, it's Tulsa visiting New Mexico. Top 25 play, number 4 Alabama hosts FIU. The 13th ranked Sooners without Sam Bradford hosts 1AA Idaho State. Number 18 Notre Dame bids the big house against Michigan. The Irish and Wolverines have played 27 times since the AP poll began in 1936. 25 times at least one team has been ranked. Rounding out the top 25 is number 21 Georgia, hosting conference rival South Carolina. Neither team has scored more than 20 points in the last 5 games. Number 23 Cincy plays Southeastern Missouri State, and rounding out the top 25, Missouri squares off with Bowling Green. Other notable games, the Vols coming off a 63-7 thrashing of Western Kentucky, hosts UCLA. UCLA is 3-0 this decade versus the SEC. For the Bojangles scoreboard, I'm Smith Hardy.
All right, Smith, thank you very much. Great work there. Nice job. Smith Hardy with our Bojangles scoreboard. A big shout-out to my buddy, Landon Minges. A bunch of his buddies over at Blunt Creek today taking in the Pirate game, and it'll be a good one for those guys today. I'm missing the party to be here with you today, Matt Butler, just so you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. What can you say, right? There you go. All right, we'll take a break, come back, more of Matt's analysis. We'll break down the Mountaineers when we return. It's our Pirate Game Day Countdown.
Pirate Game Day Countdown on the Talk FM. 94.3 WTIB.
Mom, I'm starving. What's for dinner?
Mom, what's for dinner?
When is dinner going to be ready?
Sound familiar? Well, on your way home from work, stop by Ottavola Market Cafe on Red Banks Road beside the Boo Lion to pick up a prepared family-sized tray of lasagna, chicken parmesan, baked ziti, or baked spaghetti to pop in your oven. It's easy, it's delicious, and it's affordable. Tell the kids to relax. Dinner's on the way from Ottavola Market Cafe.
Yay!
Do you ever dream of cruising the Caribbean? Well, of course you do. Do you wish you could enjoy the fruits of the Caribbean without leaving Greenville? Of course you do. Now you can, my friend. It's CPW's Cruising the Caribbean menu now for a limited time. That's right, with CPW's special menu, enjoy the famous Caribbean pizzas like jerk pie or the garbage pie with everything thrown in. Delicious. Now don't you want to cruise the Caribbean with CPW's Caribbean menu? Well, of course you do. CPW Staten Square, Greenville.
This is your humble reporter, Ron Burgundy, on the streets asking people, who is this Doug Henry and why are people talking about him?
Excuse me, sir. We'd like to know, why are you smiling so much?
Because I've got my Doug Henry.
Yeah, so you too have one of these so-called Doug Henrys. How about you, ma'am? What's all the excitement about?
I got my Doug Henry.
You too. Let's ask this fellow. Excuse me, sir. Who are you?
Well, I'm Doug Henry.
Oh, so you're Doug Henry. Tell me, sir, why are people talking about you? And what is it you've done to create such a stir?
A sample. People are flocking to
to Doug Henry in Tarboro, Farmville, and Goldsboro because we're always cheaper.
Everybody is talking about Doug Henry because Doug has the biggest inventory of new and used vehicles, and Doug's service department is known far and wide as the best. Save thousands with Doug Henry's 0% financing and rebates up to $4,500 on select vehicles in stock for 72 months.
So, Doug, tell me, is it your charm, your smile, or is it that you really are always cheaper?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, well, I think I've heard enough. I'm Ron Burgundy, and now I've got my Doug Henry.
ESPN360.com, your online home for more live sports than ever before. Experience total control with the ability to pause, rewind, and fast forward. It's TV quality picture with the power of choice. Watch more than 3,000 live events. ESPN360.com. Sign up today.
Great news. Exclusive to Suddenlink, ESPN360.com is now free to Suddenlink Internet subscribers. Visit Suddenlink.net. Another way Suddenlink just keeps getting better.
You better work.
The Family Violence Program of Pitt County presents the 2009 show, The State of Fashion. Certain Things, Icon Boutique, and Fabricate, two of the shops in Arlington Village, will show the latest fashions for ladies of all ages on Tuesday, September 29th in the Hilton of Greenville Ballroom. Pick up your $50 tax-deductible ticket by calling the Family Violence Program at 758-4400. Sponsored by Grady White Boats, Physicians East, Warden Smith, The Daily Reflector, Interbanks Media, First Citizens Bank, The Clement Companies, and Suddenlink Communications.
Pirate football. It's Pirate Game Day Countdown on the Talk FM 94.3 WTIB.
All right, up and running here. Buffalo Wild Wings, Patrick Johnson, Matt Butler, Smith Harding, Justin Davis, Rocket John Creech back at the studios. Boy, we have a cast of thousands putting this game day on as we are here from a jam-packed Buffalo Wild Wings. Come on out if you want to see it. You better go ahead and get here and get in line. It's going to be a big day and your only place to watch the game here today. Ann's Dumplings brings us our forecast. 63 degrees currently in Morgantown, West Virginia. 73 in clouds by the time the game kicks off, and then a little bit of sunshine. High of 75 today during the course of the game. That's our Ann's Dumplings forecast. Ann's Dumplings, it tastes like homemade. Well, again, along with former Pirate Matt Butler, I'm Patrick Johnson. East Carolina, West Virginia today. The game streamed live and on ESPN 360, and the only place to catch it here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Last week, West Virginia shook a tough Liberty team, finally, 33-20. Skip Holt, however, impressed with what the Mountaineers did offensively.
They had no turnovers as an offense. They had 438 yards of offense. They were 5 for 5 in the red zone. They only punted 2 times on the entire day. I was really impressed with what they do as an offensive football team. When you look at their personnel on offense, there are 8 guys that are coming back that have started or played a significant amount of time for them. And I've really been impressed with Brown, the way he handled himself, quarterback.
Jarrett Brown throwing for 243 yards, 19 out of 26 passing the football. Brown also rushing for 69 yards and a score. But in terms of running the football, he is not alone.
Open up the course of the game anytime they put the ball under their arms. Saunders has had 8 catches Saturday. He averaged 6.5 yards a carry. Brown averaged 7.7 a carry. Devine averaged 6.6 per carry. I mean, when you look at this football team as an offensive threat, they've got some great speed on the perimeter.
That speed includes the aforementioned Noel Devine, rushing for 112 yards last week. Big receivers as well, including 6 foot 8 inches tall junior Wes Lyons. Jacques Sanders had 8 catches, 95 yards last week. Coach Holtz likens the size and speed and their skill people to that of the Memphis Tigers, Matt Butler.
Yeah, Memphis, just like West Virginia, they want big receivers and tall, fast receivers. Memphis runs a lot of offense like West Virginia, and they expect their wide receivers to block. And so they recruit these big wide receivers, strong, and that's how a lot of times they can break out these big plays on offense.
Is that going to create a matchup problem in your eyes today with what ECU has in the defensive backfield?
I hope not, but given the fact that, Wes Lyons, 6'8" junior. I mean, our tallest cornerback, I believe, is 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a height advantage there, but we have to be able to come up on the line, bump the receivers, and we can't let them get off.
Defensively, Coach Holtz tells us what to expect from the Mountaineers today.
They still run that 3-5-3 defense, which gives you some schematical problems because it's not the traditional four down line front. And what they've had in years past is those big 300 pounders that have covered up your center, your guard, your two tackles and your center.
Now, Matt, let me ask you this. They'll put 5 guys in the secondary regularly. So much has been made certainly of what West Virginia does offensively in recent years, and rightfully so. But this defense forces a lot of turnovers. They're awfully tough as well.
Yeah, especially in the red zone. Last year, they were number 1 in the country in red zone defense a year ago, and 11th in the country last year against the run. You see 3 down linemen, you think we should be able to run the ball. Shouldn't be a problem. But they have big, fast linebackers who run to the ball, play physical, and they run down the hill. In that type of defense, your offensive linemen who are uncovered now, so now you're covering the center and the two tackles. 2 guards are uncovered now. And so it puts a lot of stress on those guys to know where these linebackers are at, and they're moving around. And so they have to be able to adjust. Now, usually a 3-5-3 stack defense, you're accustomed to seeing the 4-3 defense. And it's an untraditional defense, but they played against it. In the past years, I've played against it. It shouldn't be a problem. They practice it in scout team and practice week, but they just had to stick to their game plan. And offensive linemen got to be able to talk to each other. That's one of the most important things playing offensive line against this defense. Those linebackers like to walk up on the line and talk. They just got to talk to each other and communicate, and they should be fine.
Is that why it's difficult to block them, because of the way as active as the linebackers
are? Yeah, you don't know where. Sometimes there could be stacked right behind the 3 down linemen. Sometimes they could be all on one side. So a lot of times you don't know where they're at. So you just got to go to a spot, and everybody's got to be on the same page. And if they do that and they talk, so that's the biggest key in this game, talking to each other. And if you can't get up a big play, we can't have any pressure on the quarterback.
Tough environment to talk in, however, because it's so loud. The fans are right on top of you there. We'll talk more about that, of course, a little bit later on in our show. Let me ask you this real quick, Matt. Offensively, what are some things that West Virginia has traditionally done that just make them so difficult to defend?
Well, I think it all starts with their athletes.
Yeah.
They like you said, West Line, 6'8", and their other receivers, over 6 feet tall. They got Noel Devine at running back, and Jared Brown. I mean, he's stepped up and done a great job. You're talking about a guy who's been in the waiting in the wings for 4 years now, and now he's finally got his chance. And who's to say he's not just as good as Pat White? He has a stronger arm. And I think West Virginia's been able to throw the ball now more than they should.
Right.
So not only there'll be a threat running the ball with Noel Devine and their backs, but now throwing the ball especially.
Bottom line, they're going to be a tough team to defend. Shocked they didn't get any more points than what they did against Liberty last week, but still it's a tough team to defend against there. Good analysis from you there, Matt. Well, what to expect from West Virginia coming up from ECU defensive backs coach Rick Smith. We'll get more on what to expect out of them offensively in just a bit. Right now, a check of college football games that are going on around the country. It is our Bojangles scoreboard, and with that, here is Smith Hardy.
We have a score update. It's number 19, North Carolina, trailing Connecticut 10-0. 41 seconds to go in the third quarter. In the third quarter, under 6 minutes, it's Western Michigan trailing Indiana 20-14. With 33 seconds to go in the third quarter, it's Syracuse 0, number 7, Penn State 21. With under 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Wisconsin trailing Fresno State 21-17. With under 4 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Duke up on top of Army 14-10. At the half, it's number 1, Florida 35, Troy 3. End of the first quarter, it's number 14, Virginia Tech 7, and Marshall 0. With under 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Michigan State beating Central Michigan 17-13. With under four minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Stanford over Wake Forest 17-10. With under 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Pittsburgh 40, Buffalo 20. With under 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, it's Iowa 21, Iowa State 3. Underway in Boston, it's Kent State 0 and Boston College 0. 11:40 in the first quarter, it's Arkansas State trailing number 22, Nebraska 7-0. Also, with under 9 minutes to go in the first quarter, it's a tie ball game, Morgan State and Akron. Number 5, Oklahoma State taking on Houston. That game is set for 3:30. Number 9, BYU visits the Green Waves at Tulane at 3:30. At 4 p.m., SMU takes on UAB. Three matchups set for 7 p.m. include Memphis at Middle Tennessee State, UCF traveling to Southern Miss, and Rice battling out with the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. At 7:30 p.m., it's number 24, Kansas visiting UTEP. 30 minutes later, Tulsa plays New Mexico to the ACC. At 3:30, it's number 16, TCU taking on UVA. Three games kicking off at 6, which include Jacksonville State at Florida State, James Madison visiting Maryland, and NC State taking on Murray State. For the top 25, second-rate Texas squares off with Wyoming out the Mountain West Conference. That game is set for 3:30 in Laramie. An SEC showdown features number 11 LSU versus Vanderbilt. The 13th-ranked Sam Bradfordless Sooners hosts Idaho State. Number 18 Notre Dame invades the Big House against Michigan. The Irish and Wolverines have played 27 times since the AP poll began in 1936. 25 times at least one team has been ranked. Rounding out the top 25, it's number 23 Cincy playing Southeast Missouri State. Bowling Green traveling to number 25 Missouri. Other notable games, Tennessee Vols take on UCLA at 4 p.m. Tennessee coach Lane Kiffin spent 4 years working with Bruins offensive coordinator Norm Chow when the two were at Southern Cal. For the Bojangles scoreboard, I'm Smith Hardy.
All right, Smith, thank you. Brought to you by Bojangles Famous Chicken and Biscuit. Smith will have those score updates for us all show long and all season long right here on the Talk FM 94.3, our Pirate Game Day Countdown. How about the Heels down 10-0? Pirates go to allegedly 19th-ranked Carolina next week, but right now the Heels not looking so good on the road.
They're not. I know they've had some injuries on the offensive line, but, yeah, it's a good game down there, and you expect more out of the team this year. They return a lot of players. Coach Butch Davis has got another year in his belt. But, yeah, it's a dogfight right now for those
tough
guys.
Tough to go on the road, isn't it, to win a
college football? Always tough. Yeah. Always tough.
Collision in Columbus, who you like in that one tonight?
I got to say I like USC.
Now?
I really do. I like Matt Barkley at quarterback, and I think he's going to do a good job, especially in a hostile environment. We got a good coach like Pete Carroll. I mean, you've got to expect, you know, good things from them.
I think I saw this week USC's not lost a regular season road game since 2002.
Yeah,
a true road game. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're incredible.
Yeah.
They really are.
Non-conference, I may add. All right, very good. Matt Butler will continue to provide analysis. Smith with the scores. Justin Davis keeping us online as we are up and running. Pirate Game Day Countdown as we come to you today from Buffalo Wild Wings. Good to be with you here on this Saturday. ECU in West Virginia, the only place to watch it, right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. So come on out. Great specials. We'll tell you all about that and a lot more when we come back. Defensive backs coach Rick Smith. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Game Day Countdown on the Talk FM 94.3 WTIB.
Are you ready for some chicken? Huddle up around the Bojangles tailgate special. 8 pieces of perfectly seasoned chicken, 4 made from scratch biscuits, 2 picnic fixins, and a half gallon of Bojangles legendary iced tea. A tailgate feast for 4 for less than $4 per person. Now, you're ready for some chicken.
Gotta want me to get out of Bojangles.
At Bojangles, we serve breakfast all day. But that doesn't mean we serve frilly pastries and good-for-nothing muffins. We're in the business of filling people up with wholesome food that fuels them through the day. That's why, for a limited time, we're serving the Egg Bowl Biscuit, a hearty cut of Canadian bacon, egg, and cheese nestled in a made-from-scratch biscuit. But even though we serve breakfast all day, the Egg Bowl Biscuit is for a limited time only. So you still need to hurry into Bojangles.
Gotta want me to get out of Bojangles.
Every town has that one special spot where friends gather for an after-work drink, watch some great sports on TV, talk about their lives, and soak in the atmosphere of the neighborhood tavern. In Greenville, it's the University Chop House. The smoke-free bar area was designed and decorated with a first-class flair. But when you walk in, you get that favorite neighborhood spot feeling. University Chop House offers half-price appetizers in the bar from 5 to 7 p.m., daily drink specials, a cozy, comfortable lounge area, and booths for privacy. Drop by after work, after a round of golf, or meet your friends for a special occasion. The bartenders and staff will treat you as if you've been coming for years. Come by and see your friends tonight at the University Chop House, located in front of Best Buy on Evans Street. Open for lunch and dinner. For reservations, call 439-CHOP. That's 439-CHOP. Local faces, local dining. The University Chop House.
It tastes like homemade. That's right. Ann's Dumplings and Chicken Base tastes like homemade. For 28 years, Ann's Frozen Flat Dumplings and Chicken Base have been making good cooks great cooks. They're so easy, so good, and so economical. Get Ann's Flat Dumplings in your grocer's freezer and make dinner time family time. Ann's always got something stirring in the kitchen, and as consumers have become more health conscious, so has Ann. Ann's making 12-ounce 100% organic dumplings and also whole wheat dumplings. Ann has also created 5 new bases. Ann's Natural Chicken Base, Organic Chicken Base, made with 70% organic chicken. Natural Beef Base, Natural Ham Base with no extra added MSG, and an Organic Vegetable Base. All these items are available in some stores and online. For more information about Ann's Dumplings, her journey, her cookbook, and all the new products, visit the website at annsdumplings.com. It can't get any better when it tastes like homemade.
Now, back to Pirate Game Day Countdown on the Talk FM, 94.3 WTIB.
Your place to be right here, Buffalo Wild Wings today. Only place you can watch the ESPN 360 coverage of ECU and West Virginia. Lots of great specials. Tell you more about those coming up in just a little bit. Pirates defensively going to have a big challenge today against the West Virginia offense. And much like Appalachian State likes to spread things out, let their athletic quarterback get things done. Nate Summers, who we'll hear from a little bit later on in the show, had a chance earlier in the week to talk with Pirate defensive secondary coach Rick Smith. Let's join that interview right now.
Appalachian State really didn't present a whole lot to you guys in the pass game, but the way they ran their offense, they obviously presented a lot of challenges in the running game. Can you just sort of, grade your guys' performance back there? It was kind of a tough assignment as the game went on, especially with the fatigue kind of setting in with their kind of nonstop running game.
Well, they spread us out. They got into empty formation and got the linebackers out of the box. And, they spread us out. He's a good athlete and ran the football. We played 50-something snaps the second half, and I think we got a little tired. But they did present problems for us, and we've got to get those problems solved for this week because – we're going to face the same type of offense. They'll get into empty. Their quarterback 6'4", 200-something pounds. So they'll get into empty formation, and when they get into empty, we have to take the linebackers out of the box. And if there's a seam inside, those linebackers have to see it and fall back in, and the safeties have to get involved.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you would put a grade on some of your guys, some of your starters especially, how do you think the guys individually played? How do you think they did with some of the one-on-one matchups against App State?
They did very well, and Appy State I thought had very good skill people. I don't know some of their names, but I know their numbers. Number six could start for a lot of people in Conference USA. Number eight, the 6'5" receiver. I thought they had very good receivers, and I thought they played like champions, which they are. They've won, I guess, 7 out of the last 8 years. They've won their conference championship, and they've won 3 national championships. So I knew it'd be a dogfight. Have to give them a lot of credit. They didn't give up. They could have folded. They came back and fought like crazy. They're going to win a lot of games this year. But my players, I thought they did a nice job. Van Estridge, who's our starting free safety, graded out a winner, had a good game. He was in on 6 solo tackles and about 7 assists. We lost our starting strong safety the 3rd play of the game. We put in our backup, who's a redshirt sophomore. Derek Blacknall, number 26, did a great job for us, graded out a winner. Travis Simmons played a really good game for us at field corner, who's started for us off and on the last 2 years and into the boundary. Dakota Marshall played some safety and some corner. Daryl Reynolds came in and did a nice job for us. So all my kids played pretty good in the secondary.
How much of an impact will and how long do you think it'll be without Levin? And you said that Derek played well, but is it kind of a concern when you do lose a guy that literally walked into a starting position this year? Obviously, that was a huge, huge boost. I would think for you guys to have a guy like Levin, you'll be able to come in here having started at NC State before and come in and fill a position that obviously you lost 2 guys last year.
Well, going into the season, Van Estridge was the only safety that had taken a snap at safety. Blacknall had played 40 plays last year, and those were in the kicking game and at corner. So it was a little scary when Levin went down, and Levin did not play safety. He played corner at NC State. But right now, we start Blacknall at strong safety and Van at free safety back, and they're both backed up by 2 redshirt freshmen in Venable. Venable played, 7 snaps Saturday, did a nice job, and Jack Schultz out of Greensboro Grimsley came in and played 5 or 6 plays for us. They're both redshirt freshmen. And we're relying on them to do us a great job back there. We can't, that's the hand we've been dealt. Now Dakota Marshall will move from corner into safety, so we'll have 5 bodies. Right now Dakota Marshall's backing up both safeties. He's my 3rd guy.
You already mentioned, obviously, you have another tough assignment this weekend in Morgantown. Obviously not an easy place to play anytime. What are your feelings about having played App State? I think a lot of people tried to, including Skip, drew at least some comparisons to the way that West Virginia lines up on offense to the way that App State lined up on offense. I guess the question is, did it help to play App State, a similar offense, before you have to go up to Morgantown and play?
Yeah, and so many offenses now are similar. Everybody's multiple formations. So Appy State gave us every formation you can draw up, a lot of empty sets, and all those things are checks for us. So we have, what's good is all those young kids, they've heard all those checks now for a month. Okay, there's 3 over here, 2 over here. What you got to do? You got to check squeeze. You got to check sink. You got to do all those, check yellow. You got to do all those things. Well, they've heard that. So this week it should be a little bit easier because all the checks are the same. We don't change the checks from week to week. We stay pretty much the same week in and week out. And they've been in the game now. So the second time they go in, they're not quite as nervous, quite as scared. But I think it was great to play a team like Appy State, a team that won't quit, the tough bunch. And they are very good at skill. The skill position.
Still to come.
Hour 2 of the big show. Matt and I will talk a little bit about what it is like to play in West Virginia. We'll also scout their ECU running back situation. More scores from Smith Hardy on the Bojangles scoreboard. The DOB will rejoin us. Conference USA and college football talk there. Also, we will give you your Ann's Dumplings game day forecast for what's going on in Morgantown. It'll be great here in the East. Nate Summers also will be joining us live on the phone from Morgantown, and everybody will have their final thoughts and keys to today's game. All of that coming up right here from Buffalo Wild Wing. Keep in mind that Liberty quarterback Tom Beecher last week went 22 out of 33 for 210 yards. Pirates certainly will need to have Patrick Pinckney duplicate that and duplicate his success of last year if he is going to be able to lead this Pirate team to a victory today. ECU 0-12 all time at West Virginia, losing 48-7 there two seasons ago. All right, we will take a break, come back, and have more.
You're listening to Pirate Game Day Countdown on the Talk FM, 94.3 WTIB.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss.
Hello?
I said, everyone, you got the 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Hello?
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket. Fire department. Come in. Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something. Shoot. Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. America's favorite sandwich delivery guys. Visit our Greenville location at 460 Moy Boulevard or call 695-6268 for delivery. Enhance Revolutionary Wood Renewal allows you to renew the luster and life in your dull and worn down wood floors and cabinets without dust, mess, and harmful odors. There's no longer a need to replace or use traditional methods like sanding on your hardwood floors. Enhance is now here in Eastern North Carolina and locally owned and operated. Here's satisfied customer Jennifer Holtz.
The traffic areas on our hardwood floors were really becoming dull. I wish I had before and after pictures because it is unbelievable the difference. No evidence of any high traffic areas. It really brought out the sheen in those areas, even from the sun that had faded a little bit. The flooring looks like brand new. People have walked in and asked us if we have new flooring.
Enhance Revolutionary Wood Renewal can also help you with traditional sanding or new wood floor installation if that's what your project calls for. Call Enhance today to renew your hardwoods with no dust, no mess, and no odor. 252-931-WOOD. That's 931-9663. Or Enhance.
Hey, Mark. I'm up. Is that across the river?
Of course I do.
Wonder who thought of that name.
Mark did.
Figures. Hey, when you put your face and name on a business, it shows confidence you're the best in Greenville. After all, we've been here a long time.
That's right, Mark. We have a state-of-the-art lube center providing computer diagnostics, fluid changes, tire rotation, AC service, transmission service, North Carolina inspections, and much, much more.
Plus, our lobby's off the hook, man. Free coffee, free snacks, free computer stations, Wi-Fi, immaculate bathroom. Our staff is experienced, clean, and led by a master technician.
We will get you out in 30 minutes, right?
Well, your car will be ready. I don't know if you'll be ready to leave, though.
There's nothing confusing about the name of Mark's Quick Lube. It's the Mark and Mark you've known for years. Opening a new automotive service station to handle all your automotive needs. Mark's Quick Lube, 3550 Greenville Boulevard across the river. Take the first right and then a quick left. 1/4 mile from North Campus Crossing, Mark's Quick Lube.
You're listening to Pirate Game Day Countdown on the Talk FM, 94.3 WTIB.
All right, East Carolina, UNC next week at Chapel Hill. Airtime for Panera Bread for Pirate Game Day Countdown is 9 a.m. right here on the Talk FM, 94.3 WTIB. Welcome to former ECU offensive lineman Matt Butler, our crew of Justin Davis and Smith Hardy on scores, Rockin' John Creech in the studios. I'm Patrick Johnson. Buffalo Wild Wings is where we are, our host of this Pirate Game Day Countdown on this Saturday. The game on ESPN 360 this afternoon. The only place to watch it, Buffalo Wild Wings, on one of their 50 screens right here. So come on out. The game kicks off at 3:30 this afternoon, and we are counting you down to kickoff at that time. Got our winners from the Ann's Dumplings giveaway, Tabitha Bolts, Ron King, and Rick Walker. So congratulations to those three. They're a winner of the Ann's Dumplings giveaway, the recipe book, and the other things from Ann's Dumplings. Kuchemans, is that the word? Did I use that correctly? I'm from Kinston, you know, so. All right, so we do want you to come on out and be with us here. Pirate coach Skip Holtz, he's excited about today's big matchup with the guys at Oregon
really
Town.
Good football team. I've really been impressed with them. It's going to be a heck of a challenge for us as East Carolina to go up there. I hear all the stats. We've never won in Morgantown and everything else. I'm sure this is a game that both teams are going to be excited to play. I don't think anybody's overlooking anybody, and I think it'll be a great football game. We're looking forward to having the opportunity to go up there and play.
Pirates have never won in Morgantown after ECU beat West Virginia the year before in Greenville in 23-20. That was back in 1995. Pirates had a shot to win for the first time in Morgantown and went two in a row in this series. Pirates lost 10-9 in 1996 in Morgantown. They went for two at the end of the game and didn't get it, that famous or infamous play in Pirate history. Playing there absolutely is not a picnic. What about Morgantown? What about it, I guess, makes it such a tough place for the visitors to try to conquer?
Playing in Morgantown, Mellon-Huskar Stadium, I feel is just as rowdy as Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. The fans are not only excited, they get into the game, but they're educated fans, and they know what they're talking about. From experience playing there, I got to play there three times as a former player.
What? Where was the home and home?
Three times at Morgantown. Yeah. And those fans will let you have it. Either verbally or a couple times we've had some objects thrown our way on the sidelines. So you kind of got to watch your back when you're playing in Morgantown. But their fans, like I said, they're great. They get excited. They love their football in West Virginia. And there's no doubt about that. Just like our fans at ECU, I compare them the same. They get into it. They love it. And it's a hostile environment, especially for our kids this week. It's going to be tough.
Fans are kind of on top of you. What's the layout like in terms of the proximity from the sideline to the stands?
Well, I believe it's about a 60,000-seat stadium, yeah. So it's relatively about, you know, our size at Dowdy-Ficklin, but they're right on top of you. And it's closed in, and it really gets loud in there. And like I said, they heckle you. Anything you do wrong, they're going to let you know about it.
Family show, what's the worst thing that somebody maybe said to you or one of your teammates?
Oh, they like to pick on my red hair, so they call me redheaded stepchild.
Opie,
yeah.
Howdy doody.
Yeah. I mean, anything they can find, they find a way.
Yeah.
They get on your skin.
Just get in your head a little bit.
So those guys today, you got to ignore that and get the job done. You go 1-0, just like Coach Holt talks about, go 1-0. Don't worry about the fans. Let's focus what's on hand. Let's get that W today.
Toughest place you've ever played, that's it?
Toughest place I ever played? I would have to say West Virginia is probably the toughest.
Okay.
Virginia Tech was a tough place to play. It was hostile, especially when we went there and right after the shooting. It was a hostile environment. But as far as fans and the crowd noise, I have to say West Virginia was probably the toughest place I've ever played.
Any thoughts on the running back situation for the Pirates? A lot of guys... as we've talked about with Denny O'Brien on the phone a few minutes ago, the best two are somewhat in Coach Holtz's doghouse a little bit with Jackson, and obviously we've chronicled the problems in the last couple of years of Jonathan Williams, who has an abundance of talent, but a lot of problems off the field. A good performance, however, from Dominic Lindsay last week, 105 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, Dominic played he had a great game. I'm glad to see Dominic come back from his injuries. His last game, I believe, that he rushed for that many yards or had his best performance was in the Hawaii Bowl. So I'm glad to see Dominique come out and play well. I think the running back situation is a good problem, the same, but it's also can be a bad problem with so much depth. You want to try to get a running back in the flow of the game. And you got so many running backs coming in and out, you really can't have one guy really can't get in the flow of the game. So it kind of causes some trouble right there. But it's always nice. Like I said, it's a good problem too. Somebody gets hurt, somebody else can step in.
I'm going to ask you a bit of a dumb question here, because I don't know a lot about football. You know more than I ever dreamed of knowing. Blocking? You block differently for different guys, I would assume, so it's maybe tough for the guys up front.
Well, I was fortunate enough to play for Chris Johnson, right? And, which was one of the greatest backs in ECU history.
But, I mean, it could be tough, I guess, for guys with different running backs. It's like a different quarterback.
And
right?
I don't know the... You know, some guys might different running backs have different styles of running.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
And, you know, offensive line, they should know that, and they do know that. And they block a different way, knowing if Dominique's in the game, to either if Jonathan Williams in the game, they're going to block a different way.
Right. Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, good stuff from Matt Butler here today. He'll be with us all season long after wedding duty last week. I outed you there. I didn't mean to. All right, we will take an opportunity now to look at our Bojangles scoreboard. And for Bojangles, famous biscuits and chicken, here he is, the one and only Smith Hardy.
We have a score update. It's Northwestern leading Eastern Michigan 24-17, 8:55 to go in the fourth. Pittsburgh on top of Buffalo 40-20, and that game's late in the fourth. Western Michigan down by three on Indiana 20-17. Fresno State is down by three to Wisconsin. That game is a little under 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We have a tie ball game in Winston-Salem. It's Stanford and Wake Forest with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Number 7, Penn State routing Syracuse 28-0. Central Michigan is only down by a touchdown to Michigan State, and that's 14:40 to go in the fourth. Iowa on top of Iowa State 28-3 at the end of the third quarter. Army is down to Duke. Duke's up 21-13 with 9:23 in the fourth. Oh no, and a shakeup in Storrs, Connecticut. Number 19, North Carolina trailing Connecticut 10-3, a little under 9 minutes to go in the fourth. Number 1, Florida is just killing Troy 42-3. Virginia Tech 21-7 up on Marshall with 8 minutes to go in the second. Arkansas State is getting blanked by Nebraska. Number 22, Nebraska, 14-0, a little under a minute to go in the first quarter. Kent State at Boston College, 14-0. And the big showdown, a top 10 matchup in the second weekend of the college football season, is third-ranked USC takes its first road trip of the season to the Horseshoe to take on the eighth-ranked Buckeyes of Ohio State. Last season, the Buckeyes got housed in USC 35-3. ACC games kicking off later this afternoon. It, at 3:30, it's number 16 TCU taking on UVA. Three games kicking off at 6, which include Jacksonville State versus Florida State, James Madison visiting Maryland, and NC State taking on Murray State. In Conference USA, a 3:30 tilt is number 5 Oklahoma State and Houston. At 4 p.m., kick features SMU and UAB. At 7 p.m., it's Memphis at Middle Tennessee State. UCF traveling to Southern Miss, and Rice taking on Texas Tech. And in Lubbock, capping off Saturday's game in conference play, it's Tulsa visiting New Mexico. For the top 25, it's number 10 Cal squares off with Eastern Washington, and 13th-ranked Sooners without Sam Bradford host Idaho State. With the Bojangles scoreboard, I'm Smith Hardy.
All right, Smith, thank you. Great job, Bojangles scoreboard there. Eric Valero, the owner of the BW3s here in Arlington Village.
Hey, great to be here.
Eric, it's good to see you, man. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic.
Been a while since we've been back in here. Glad to be back. I love coming here because you got more screens than anybody can imagine. There's somewhere right now there's college football inside of Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, absolutely. We're really trying to pump up the college atmosphere and the first football weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're running the state's largest fantasy football league on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say NFL, great place to come to watch all the games tomorrow as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And then today I think we're showing the ECU game.
Yeah, got it on ESPN 360. The only place to watch it is here.
Yeah, that's right. We tested the system and we're able to put the ECU game on 50 TVs. And we're going to have that cranked up here in about 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, about 3:30 or so. That'll be a good deal. Lots of great beer specials and drink specials here. Food, all the wings you want to eat. Just come on out and enjoy yourself.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks for having us here. Hope we can get a chance to come back and see you guys. I love it here, man. This is a great place, and things will continue to be good for you guys here, I hope.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys were able to do the pregame show. I'm stoked to have you guys here.
Yeah, it's great to be here. We love coming here. Eric, thank you, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. And go. You got the Pirates shirt on. You look great.
Oh, yeah, we're on.
Yeah, there
go
you
go. Go Pirates.
There you go.
All right.
Eric with us here. Eric Valero, the owner of the Buffalo Wild Wings location. Take a break. We'll come back. And when we do, much more to get to here on our big program, a check of the forecast of Nate Summers, Denny O'Brien, all still to come.
You're listening to Pirate Game Day Countdown with Patrick Johnson and Matt Butler on the Talk FM 94.3 WTIB.
You've heard about Springshire, the newest retirement community coming to Greenville. Springshire has just announced that reservations for lakeside units are in high demand. Lakeview and Nature Area apartments are nearly sold out. In fact, only one third floor and two first floor Lakeview apartments are left. This is great news. Springshire will be built in close proximity to Pitt County Memorial Hospital, adjacent to Ironwood Country Club. Springshire will include homes, villas, and apartments, complete health care, nature areas, gardens, movie theater, lake, and a short walk to the first tee. This is truly a new style in retirement living coming to Eastern Carolina. A social model community that will include residents in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. Contact Springshire now for more information. Don't wait. There are only a limited number of premium Lakeview units left. Contact Ron Carnigan at 317-2303 or go to springshire.org for more information. Find out why everyone is saying Springshire is the place you want to be.
Auburn AV is Eastern North Carolina's premier audio-visual provider. Auburn AV has the skill and experience to elevate your special event to the next level. They work with you to ensure your event goes off without hassle. With a focus on safety, reliability, and planning, your event is on time and on budget. Are you a professional event planner? Ask about their planner partner program. Call Auburn AV at 252-321-0471 and check them out online at auburnav.com. Do you have a friend working on a special event? Well, be sure to tell them about Auburn AV.
This is Henry Hatton, and I just want to say that we work with Auburn AV for our TalkFest event in the Convention Center, and we brought Laura Ingram into town, and they are unbelievable. I was blown away by their professionalism, and the staging and video they did for us for TalkFest was unbelievable. These guys are great.
Call Auburn AV at 252-321-0471 and check them out online at auburnav.com. Auburn AV, 321-0471.
Okay, down to my last pair of clean socks. Time to fix the washing machine.
Showing 1 to 10 of 29,500 results for washing machine repair.
I just need one.
Then you need to be more specific. I might be a ginormous search engine, but I cannot read your mind, ma'am.
Fine.
Now showing 1 to 10 at 2,140 results. Or click on one of my ads to purchase a brand new washing machine.
I don't want a new washing machine.
Then go to page 2. There's an appliance repairman in Canada.
But I don't live in Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Dex, I need my washing machine fixed fast.
There's 28 appliance repair companies on DexKnows.com.
In my city?
Yep.
On the south side of town?
I know three that service your area, and one that advertises speedy repairs. It's received nothing but rave reviews.
Oh, great, Dex. I'll give them a call.
Or click on my shopping link and buy all new clothes.
Or click on the X to close you out.
Oh, I could really use another blue shirt. DexKnows.com. Smarter than your average search. More exact, more detailed, a lot more local. And now it's on your mobile device. DexKnows.
Even the former chancellor is excited he's back.
Burbage, this is your chancellor. I understand that you're back on the radio for Eastern State College football. Go Polecats.
Yeah. More Pirate Game Day Countdown on WTIB. Now, here's Patrick Johnson.
Talking to the DOB, yeah, you know me. It is Denny O'Brien, Bonesville.net. Quickly, Denny, I want to get some talk with you about college football as he's joining us just outside of Morgantown, West Virginia today, where the Pirates will take on the West Virginia Mountaineers. Dobbert, anything out of Conference USA in Week 1 that sort of shocked you? I guess it's really a lot of the same teams are kind of at the top, or at least projecting to be at the top. Seemed to do pretty well in Week 1. UAB, though, leaps to mind as a team that could start the season 3-0.
Yeah, and I think when you look at UAB throttling Rice, which was a 10-game winner. Granted, I understand that the Owls lost everything.
Yeah.
But still, you know, UAB has been nothing the past couple of years. Neil Calloway was brought in there, had to clean up, you know, things in Birmingham. Joe Webb, I think, is just a dynamic quarterback. He ran for over 100. He threw the ball well. Yeah, he almost beat East Carolina single-handedly last year down in Birmingham. I think the Blazers could be a team to watch. We'll have to see what they do down the road. I think the East is going to be very competitive. Southern Miss and East Carolina, of course, you know, they're at the top, or at least we think the Pirates are up there at the top with Southern Miss, which certainly looked the part last week. But UAB really caught my eye. One team that also caught my eye, UTEP. You know, that was a team I was expecting a little bit out of. But to see the Miners lose at home to Buffalo, granted, I understand Buffalo is a defending MAC champion. But, you know, you kind of want to think that Conference USA is a little bit better than the MAC. Not a good start when you lose at home to Buffalo for the Miners.
Denny, on the contrast, certainly you can't be impressed with what you saw out of Tulane SMU. But UCF right now, that's a terrible situation going on down there. That's a situation that George O'Leary seemed to have such a good, firm grasp on it. It's in shambles right now, though.
I don't think that there's any question about that. You know, when you look at the things that have happened off the field with the player, dying, and it looks like that the medical staff and the training staff had information about a condition, and that was ignored. You know, I don't want to go into
sure.
I don't have all the facts on that, but they've got the legal issues going on with that. And then you look on the field. To struggle to come back, to come back to beat Stanford. Granted, I wasn't overly impressed with the margin of East Carolina's victory over Appalachian State. I'm just guessing Appalachian State could score 60 on Stanford.
Yeah.
And you look at UCF, 28-24 victory over Terry Bowden's old school. And that's just not very impressive. You would think that UCF, supposedly, the thing that we were told is that UCF has everything in its going its direction. The Sunshine State in which it can recruit a new stadium, not very nice, but a new stadium on campus, and a coach, George O'Leary, who has had success at a very high level at Georgia Tech. He's gone in there, their offense has sunk almost, you take Kevin Smith out of the equation, and their offense just hasn't been very good. They were awful last year, looks like they're pretty bad this year. Quarterback issues are abundant there. I look at UCF to be near the bottom. I think we'll know more about them this week. Playing Southern Miss. If they get throttled like I expect they will by Southern Miss, I look at UCF being maybe the bottom of the ladder in the East Division.
All right, Denny, let's now turn our attention to overall college football. Obviously, a lot of the names at the top are staying the same, but all of a sudden we got BYU maybe crashing the BCS party here early. Overrated are the Cougars?
No, I don't think they're overrated. I just don't think that the Cougars are the best team in their league. I think Texas Christian might be the best team in the Mountain West Conference. When you look at the Mountain West Conference overall, I would think that you might have to rank it the number four conference at worst right now. I would certainly rank it ahead of the Big East. I would definitely rank it ahead of the ACC right now when you look at the Big Three. But then if you go beyond the Big Three, when I'm talking about Brigham Young, Utah, and Texas Christian, look at what Colorado State did last weekend. Go into Folsom Field, beat Colorado, and clearly look like a much better team than the Buffaloes. That says a lot when you're a Mountain West school, you go on the road, you beat one of the traditional powers in the Big 12. I think that was a huge statement for that league. I look to the Mountain West Conference to do big things. I jokingly said on my Twitter page, which I'm sure you follow.
I frequent.
With much interest there. Pat,
sure. Mm-hmm.
That the ACC and the Big East should both forfeit their automatic bid to the BCS for the top two finishers in the Mountain West Conference.
Let me ask you about the other two big national games, if you will, tonight. Of course, you've got USC. Coming to Columbus to take on Ohio State. What happens there?
That's tough, because Barkley, the freshman quarterback at USC, it'll be his first time he's seen a real defense. San Jose State didn't bring much there. At the same time, Ohio State tends to flop in these big game situations, be it in the postseason or in the regular season. We've seen them go down to Texas on a couple of occasions. But all that said, I'm going to take Ohio State. I think maybe Terrell Pryor has a big game. I think the Buckeyes are going to want to redeem themselves from the performance last week against Navy. I'm going to take Ohio State now.
All right, and then the other big national game, Notre Dame and Michigan. Is Notre Dame for real? And Michigan maybe working out their aggression of last week. What do they do now for the rest of the season?
I really like Notre Dame in this one. I was very impressed. You'd laugh at the box. But the Wolfpack looks to be one of only two teams potentially left on Boise State's schedule that could beat them. They were returning 3,000-yard rushers, gave Maryland everything it could handle in the Boise Bowl last year. I thought Nevada would beat Notre Dame, but to shut them out 35-0, I thought that spoke volumes. Jimmy Clausen, I think, is the real deal, playing in his final year in South Bend, might I add, or at least I think that's the case. So I think Notre Dame is going to win this game against Michigan. And, you know, I think Michigan will be better, but I don't see them being a nine-win team. I think the better game or the more intriguing game than this one could be Oklahoma State-Houston.
Yeah.
If you take 100 at the over-under, you might want to take over in that one. That could be an interesting game.
Quickly, Al Groh, Virginia, the water's boiling at this point, eh?
He might not see week five.
Yeah. All right, Dom, later on, keys to the game. Thanks for joining us now. Talk a little bit of college football.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
All right, right now, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
No static at all. The new Talk FM, 94.3 WTIV, Long Hill, Greenville, Washington.
Take a break, come back, and when we do, Smith Hardy have an update of scores from around college football on our Bo Jangles scoreboard.
Sound familiar? Well, on your way home from work, stop by Ottavola Market Cafe on Red Bank Road beside the Blue Line to pick up a prepared family-sized tray of lasagna, chicken parmesan, baked ziti, or baked spaghetti to pop in your oven. It's easy, it's delicious, and it's affordable. Tell the kids to relax. Dinner's on the way from Ottavola Market Cafe.
Yay! We love Ottavola!
Do you ever dream of cruising the Caribbean? Well, of course you do! Do you wish you could enjoy the fruits of the Caribbean without leaving Greenville? Of course you do! Now you can, my friend. It's CPW's Cruising the Caribbean menu now for a limited time. That's right, with CPW's special menu, enjoy the famous Caribbean pizzas like jerk pie or the garbage pie with everything thrown in. Delicious! Now don't you want to cruise the Caribbean with CPW's Caribbean menu? Well, of course you do! CPW Staten Square, Greenville!
Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge Jeep is Eastern North Carolina's new Jeep headquarters. And they're also your pre-owned headquarters with the area's best selection of pre-owned cars and trucks. At Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge Jeep, you will always find late model, low mileage vehicles with a wide variety of domestics and imports. Of course, Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge Jeep has great deals on new cars and trucks as well. Act now and get 0% financing for 72 months on a new Dodge Ram truck. You'll also find Eastern North Carolina's largest selection of new minivans. And don't forget the great selection of Jeeps, like the new Jeep Wrangler and the all-new Jeep Grand Cherokee. Visit them on the web at ecauto.com and stop by to see the selection for yourself at Dave Davis's East Carolina Chrysler Dodge Jeep on the corner of Memorial Drive and Greenville Boulevard in Greenville.
Scoreboard. It's a tie game between Eastern Michigan and Northwestern 24-apiece. Pittsburgh is routing Buffalo 40-27. That's 6 minutes in the fourth. Western Michigan down to Indiana 23-17. Wisconsin up by three on Fresno State. Stanford, a tie game.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Georgia Bryant. President Obama has just spoken at a big health care reform rally in Minneapolis. The president referred to a Treasury Department analysis that found nearly half of those under 65 will go without health coverage at some point in a 10-year period.
How many of you who have insurance have ever worried that you might lose it if you lost your job or your change shop?
Number 19, North Carolina is playing
Connecticut and scores Connecticut. It's a tie game at 10 apiece. Troy and Florida, and Florida is routing Troy 49-3, a little under 4 minutes to go in the third. Number 14, Virginia Tech, routing Marshall 35-7. Morgan State and Akron, and Akron's up 14-0. Number 22, Nebraska, leading 21-0 over Arkansas State. Kent State and Boston College. It looks like Boston College is winning by, or winning 21-0. And, all right, in Conference USA later today, Houston travels to number 5 Oklahoma State. Houston is 2-2 recently versus the Cowboys. Last year, Houston led 16-14 at the half before the Cowboys pulled away in a 56-37 home win. Number 9, BYU coming off an upset over Oklahoma last weekend, visit the Green Waves of Tulane at 3:30. At 4 p.m., SMU takes on UAB. The last time the Mustangs visited Legion Field, it wasn't so pretty. Bobby Chase's 31-yard Hail Mary reception on the final play of the game would give them victory in 05. Three matchups set for 7 p.m. include Memphis at Middle Tennessee State, UCF traveling to Southern Miss, and Rice battling out with the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. At 7:30, it's number 24 Kansas visiting UTEP. 30 minutes later, Tulsa plays New Mexico. ACC at 3:30 is number 16 TCU taking on UVA. Three games kicking off at 6, which include Jacksonville State versus Florida State, James Madison visiting Maryland, and NC State taking on Murray State. Top 25 play is number 18 Notre Dame invades the Big House against Michigan. Both teams won their first game impressively with a combined score of 66-7. Someone leads here 2-0 and feeling pretty good about themselves. Running out the top 25 is number 21 Georgia hosting conference rival South Carolina. Other notable games, the Vols coming off a thrashing of Western Kentucky hosts UCLA. With more Pirate Game Day Countdown from Buffalo Wild Wings after this.
Taco Bell's introducing an exciting new offer for Pirate fans this year. On every Pirate football Saturday, all beef tacos are half price at Taco Bell. That's right, fans, Pirate football and half price tacos all day long. Now that's a winning combination. Visit Taco Bell with three locations in Greenville, Memorial Drive across from the hospital, Highway 11 next to Pitt Community College, and on the corner of Greenville and Arlington Boulevard. Don't forget, half-price tacos every Pirate football game day at Taco Bell.
This is your humble reporter, Ron Burgundy, on the streets asking people, who is this Doug Henry and why are people talking about him?
Excuse me, sir. We'd like to know, why are you smiling so much?
Because I've got my Doug Henry.
Yeah, so you too have one of these so-called Doug Henrys. How about you, ma'am? What's all the excitement about?
I got my Doug Henry.
You too. Let's ask this fellow. Excuse me, sir. Who are you?
Well, I'm Doug Henry.
Oh, so you're Doug Henry. Tell me, sir, why are people talking about you? And what is it you've done to create such a stir?
It's simple. People are flocking to Doug Henry in Tarboro, Farmville, and Goldsboro because we're always cheaper.
Everybody's talking about Doug Henry because Doug has the biggest inventory of new and used vehicles, and Doug's service department is known far and wide as the best. Save thousands with Doug Henry's 0% financing and rebates up to $4,500 on select vehicles in stock for 72 months.
So, Doug, tell me, is it your charm, your smile, or is it that you really are always cheaper?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Yes, well, I think I've heard enough. I'm Ron Burgundy, and now I've got my Doug Henry.
Suddenly, customers have been so excited about saving money by bundling their TV, internet, and home phone that they've been calling in to see if they can bundle even more. We appreciate your enthusiasm, but as a notice, the following cannot be bundled with Suddenlink: landscaping, dog walking, ghost hunting, clown college, robotic non-invasive medical procedures, hobo removal, roadside assistance, hair transplants, hair coloring, anything related to hair, past life regression, wedding planning, abdominoplasty, or car audio installation. Suddenlink appreciates your interest, but at this time we can only save you money by bundling TV, internet, and home phone. Suddenlink, easy as counting to one.
Sign up for the world's easiest bundle and get Suddenlink Digital TV, high-speed internet, and home phone together for one low monthly rate. Bundle and save with Suddenlink. Call 1-888-618-0199 or go to Suddenlink.com.
Suddenlink, you're connected.
Limitations apply. Call Suddenlink for details.
Hi, this is Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. Follow all the play-by-play action of Panthers football right here on WTIV 94.3 FM. The Panthers open the 2009 season this Sunday, September 13th, hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. Pre-game coverage begins at 12 noon with kickoff set for 1 o'clock right here from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. All season long, it's Carolina Panthers football on WTIV 94.3, the talk of the Inner Banks.
Saturday of the season, Nate Summers. Just two of many to go for you, my friend, as he joins us now, the beat writer for the Pirates for the Greenville Daily Reflector, also the host of 94.3's Monday Evening Quarterback Program, 7 o'clock Monday nights right here on WTIV. How goes life on the road for the first one of these this year?
Oh, you know, it's standard fare. I feel like we've made this little trip here to Pittsburgh about 100 times. not the most fun drive, by the way. It's not my favorite drive, Patrick, from glorious Pittsburgh to whatever word you want to use to describe Morgantown. Hilly Morgantown, we'll say.
You got some good weather. Let's check our Ann's Dumplings forecast for the game. It could be about 73 degrees when they kick off this afternoon. And
it's a huge day for Patrick, I think, today. And, you know, for that West Virginia offense, I think that you know, you've got a very similar look to what we've had. It's not Pat White, as you mentioned, but, you know, he's got a serviceable quarterback in this offense, and I think it's Derrick Brown is that. You know, he's the classic case of a guy who has played behind a much bigger star in most of his career. So, you know, as well as I do, that doesn't make you a bad player. That just means you've kind of been stuck. I think the same thing has happened with Eddie Carolina with Dominique Lindsay. You know, he's played behind everybody. He's finally got a chance to play, and he is also pretty big key, at least in my eyes, in this game.
Nate Summers from the Greenville Daily Reflector, beat writer for Pirate Football, joins us here. Nate, some big targets for Brown to throw to. Lyons, Sanders, who had a big game last week. This is obviously going to create some matchup problems just from a height standpoint for the ECU Pirates.
I think it is, yeah. I think there are going to be some tough matchups, and that's why this, you know, you combine those matchups with the, you know, the dreaded Morgantown experience that ECU has always had, and, you know, this is easily, the, you know, at least as it stands right now, it's got to be the toughest game on their schedule until they, you know, until maybe the Virginia Tech game. You know, I think this game is tougher for them than North Carolina next week. I think a lot of people are hooting and hollering about this Tar Heels team, and I know today it's not really the day to talk about them, but honestly, with the kind of the Morgantown jinx in effect, I think this is a tougher game. It's a tougher stadium to play in by all counts. It's a more hostile environment, and I just feel like, you know, watching these games over the years, West Virginia has always been one of those momentum offenses where in a matter of minutes they can just kind of wash over you and change the whole game. So,
hang on, Nate. Certainly you've mentioned the West Virginia experience. It is not as daunting, even though they won 9 games last year under Bill Stewart. It's not as daunting maybe as it has been in the past. A little bit of luster off this program. I mean, Bill Stewart, I'm sure, is a nice guy. A lot of people say nice things about him, but he looks like he ought to be coaching at Perquimans High School.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I think it's weird when a team like West Virginia that you always kind of expect to be good, and they've always got superstars waiting behind, you know, they've got new superstars waiting behind the current ones usually. And that's just, you know, they're one of those programs. But, yeah, I think that you know, from an outsider's perspective, this is not your traditional West Virginia football team, not only from a coaching standpoint, but, you know, we just talked about Derrick Brown. I mean, you know, I think it's safe to say he probably is no Pat White because, you know, I just can't imagine, you know, that experience-wise that he's even played enough to be on the level of Pat White. But I also don't know that you need a Pat White to win a home game in West Virginia. But, yeah, I mean, I think that you can look at a lot of areas on this team right now, this West Virginia team, and if you're going to be honest about it, you got to say, this: if there ever is such a thing as a rebuilding phase for a team like a West Virginia, they're in it right now. I mean, you look at the fact that Pat White just defined this program for so long. You know, he was one of those guys where it just seems like he was there for ages. But look at the team now and how it's changed. And, you know, you just, like I say, up and down this depth chart right now, you see a lot of transition. And, you know, speaking again about Brown, you know, he's going to be a one-and-done, basically. He's a one-year starting quarterback. So I think it's always interesting when you have that. You know, I guess it can be a best friend, worst enemy scenario. But again, he just doesn't have the experience that a Pat White does, and he's obviously not going to ever be able to get it while he's here. So I definitely think this is a rebuilding team for West Virginia.
Let's talk about, as we're talking to Nate Summers, beat reporter for Pirate Football for the Daily Reflector, host of the highly successful and highly popular program, Monday Evening Quarterback on WTIV, Monday nights at 7. Quickly to the Pirates here. Fans, it just seemed like fans leaving the stadium last week felt like they had been defeated by Appalachian State. What's the mood of the team?
Well, you know what? I don't think the team buys into any of that. I really, you know, I'm known to err on the side of the other side of the fence from the fans, usually, shall we say.
Yes.
Not always, but, you know, I think it's absurd. I think that, you know, that's human nature getting the best of you when you're upset about winning. You know, I realize it's a cliche thing to say, but I think that college football, probably more than any other sport in the universe, really adheres to the cliche that it doesn't matter if you win ugly or not. You'd still rather be the team that won than the team that almost won.
Right.
So I just think it's a bunch of nonsense. I think fans sometimes are given to nonsense about this. It's not just Pirate fans, obviously. It's just sports fans in general. And, you know, it just shows you how fast expectations ratchet up. I mean, Those same fans that are so disgusted by a 29-24 win would have absolutely crossed the highway and been hit by cars for a win 4 or 5 years ago like that. So,
yeah.
You know, they would have given their right arm for any kind of a win. Remember how excited people used to get at Greenville when they beat the worst team and the worst team on planet Earth, Army? And, you know, if they played 3-4 more minutes of the game, they most certainly would have lost those games. I mean, you know, it's amazing, you know. They're coming off a 9-5 season. They won their season opener, and it was not pretty. I'd be the first to agree with that, but I think it's nonsense for him to be that upset about winning.
Well, I mean,
and I like Skip's approach on it, too. He said he's not going to come into the media room and complain about a win, and I really respect him for saying that.
Yeah. This team, though, obviously had some things to work on. Do they feel like they've worked on them from week one to week two here?
Yeah, I do. I still think that, you know, last week was a really tough evaluation, I think, for ECU. I think that it really would be. I think you can say that for any team in some sense, but I also feel like you look at that game and you don't ever want to say that a team is experimenting on the field during an actual game, but I'd say in some way they kind of were. I mean, the first game of the year is your first chance to see what things really actually look like, and you find out what works and what don't. And again, to me, the difference in the game was very simple. At App State, made some very, very classic, simple adjustments at halftime, and, you know, East Carolina was not able to overcome that. And again, I think the offensive woes, I'm not saying that the blame take me, but when he has a bad day, I think, in that situation, and they're able to adjust like that, you know, that to me is the biggest thing to work on, is to make sure that Patrick is still sharp. You know, as we said earlier, he doesn't always have a big game every game, but I think that was the biggest adjustment. You know, Skip quite rightly pointed out, there's really nothing to work on from the defensive side of the ball. And I think some of the grumblings from people about that are also kind of ridiculous. I mean, they were on the field for 21 minutes of the last 30 minutes of that game. So I don't care who you are. USC's defense would have been tired, too. So I think that, you know, again, I think the key thing to work on offensively is just to kind of adjust with the adjustments. They didn't do that. They didn't adjust to the adjustment last week, and, you know, they kind of were in over their heads in that second half.
Nate, thanks for the time, man. Enjoy your trip to Morgantown, and safe travels back. And, of course, you can follow Nate's work on in the Daily Reflector, everything tomorrow, buttreflector.com for everything today, tonight, and tomorrow. Thank you, Nate.
Thanks.
All right, now a check of college football action going on about the country. Smith Hardy standing by with that.
We have a final in Storrs, Connecticut. Number 19, North Carolina, barely escapes 12-10. At the half, it's Virginia Tech up 35-7 on Marshall. Number 1, Florida, just routing Troy 49-6. Wake Forest, a final, winning against Stanford 24-17. Pittsburgh and Buffalo, it's 54 for Pittsburgh, Buffalo 27. At Syracuse, final in, at Penn State, it's number 7, Penn State, over Syracuse 28-7. In the third, with 3 minutes to go, actually in the second with 3 minutes to go, is number 22, Nebraska, over Arkansas State 21-6. Boston College up 24-0 on Kent State. It's 1:32 left in the second. Morgan State down on down to Akron 21-0 with 9:37 to go in the second. Central Michigan down by 1 to Michigan State 27-26, 32 seconds to go in the fourth. Number 18, Notre Dame invades the Big House against Michigan. Both teams won their first game impressively with a combined score of 66-7. Someone leads here 2-0 and feeling pretty good about themselves. The big showdown tonight in Columbia features number 3, USC, and number 8, Ohio State. USC is 11-1 in first road games, and freshman quarterback Matt Barkley makes his first road start in a hostile environment. That game at 8 o'clock on ABC. With the Bojangles scoreboard, I'm Smith Hardy.
All right, Smith, great job. Thank you. Good job here today. Smith Hardy with our Bojangles scoreboard. All right, getting ready to wrap up the big program. Buffalo Wild Wings is where we are. You can come on out. Still lots of room out here. Drink specials that are going on here today and a lot more. And when we come back, we'll get Denny back on the phone, get Nate back on the phone, and we'll have our keys to the game segment when we return. Matt Butler standing by with that as well. Give you some final thoughts from Buffalo Wild Wings. We're here today getting you ready for the kickoff between the Pirates and West Virginia. Only place to watch it, ESPN 360 right here at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll be right back. This is Pirate Game Day Countdown.
odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I am Barb Rozier of Detroit, Michigan. There's a man who lives in Florida. I met him only once, but I'll never stop loving him. You see, he is my daughter's marrow donor. He saved her life.
Monica Rozier almost died waiting for a bone marrow match. It took 4 agonizing years and her mother almost lost her. Then Alton Rowe joined the registry by signing up at a drive held in his hometown in Florida. Monica is now a happy, healthy teenager. Her story has a happy ending. Unfortunately, most are not as lucky.
This is Quincy Jones. African Americans have a better chance to find marrow or blood stem cell donors when more African Americans volunteer.
Become a donor. Save a life.
Unite, commit, become a marrow or blood stem cell donor. Call 1-800-MARROW-2 or visit marrow.org/unite to learn more.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Networks firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
Hi, Ty Pennington here from Bayer. Looking for a healthy resolution you can stick with? Resolve to talk to your doctor about starting an aspirin regimen. Taken regularly, aspirin can help reduce the risk of a heart attack up to 32% for those at appropriate risk.
Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen. Bayer is a proud supporter of the American Heart Association's START program.
Bayer Aspirin. Expect wonders.
Use as directed.
Oh yeah! Pirate Game Day Countdown, we are rocking and rolling here. Buffalo Wild Wings. If you're not here, I don't know where you are. Where are you if you're not here? Butler, where could you be if you're not here?
Where would you want to be other than here?
I know. I don't know. It's great in here. You're having a big time.
Great time.
Signing autographs, kissing babies.
That's right. Nothing better.
Pirates of West Virginia coming up. We are going to give some scores in just a minute. One final check of the Bojangles scoreboard coming up. Right now it's our Keys of the Game segment. Let's go to Denny O'Brien right now, who's standing by. D.O.B., your key to a Pirate victory today. Dauber.
Key to this game for East Carolina is it must get the ball in the hands of the playmaker. When you look at last week, Dwayne Harris did not touch the ball a whole lot. Same thing for Jamal Bryant. Brandon Jackson, only 5 carries. Jonathan Williams, only 4. Those guys have to have the ball in their hands for that offense to be successful. You can talk about all the cliche, turnovers, special teams mistakes. Certainly, the Pirates have to be good in those areas. But if the Pirates are going to win this game, their playmakers have to touch the ball. That tells them to get it in the end zone.
All right, let's go now to Nate Summers, beat writer for the Daily Reflector. He's back on the line with us. Your key, Nate.
Be a broken record about it, but again, I think it's pretty simple. The key to the game is a quick start from Pinckney. And the thing that I think that I didn't mention is that a big quick start for Pinckney also means Jamar Bryant and Dwayne Harris becoming more involved. I just feel like, as talented as those guys are, it's their responsibility to help the passing game get back on track. It's not always just the quarterback. Now, granted, Patrick threw behind and over a lot of guys last week, but there's some drop passes. And honestly, you have to keep your receivers accountable. Jamar Bryant's a senior. Dwayne Harris has, as much if not more experience than any of these guys. And,
all right, very good. Thank you, Nate. We appreciate it. Matt Butler now, your keys to today's game for the Pirates.
Well, I think some of the keys to today is we'll have to avoid the big play defensively. They're going to be able to run the ball. They're going to do what they want to, but we got to be able to avoid the big play. The second thing, we got to be able to run the football. We've got to keep our defense off the field. Like last weekend, they got on the field. They started getting tired, started getting cramped up. So we've got to avoid turnovers. We've got to avoid second half. We've got to come out strong and be physical with these guys. We must got to run the football. I'm not just saying that because I'm a former offensive lineman, but we've got to be able to run the football. We got to keep running the clock. We got to avoid that big time offense with the athletes as a Noah Devine. And you got the big time receivers, 6'8" receivers, and we've got to avoid those guys on the field as much as possible. And Patrick Peyton's got to play well. You know, he's played big in big time games. West Virginia played well. Carolina game, he played well. So he's got to be able to play this afternoon. And if he does that, and we run the ball, we avoid the big plays, and we come out physical and have a better second half, then I think we'll be okay. And I think it'll be a great showdown for next week. I'm not trying to look ahead to Carolina, but I just saw they just won.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good game. If we can beat West Virginia, get ready for Carolina, it'll be exciting.
I'm guessing none of your former teammates and friends are looking ahead. They've got a big task ahead of them today in West Virginia, but everybody's going to be excited about that game next week. And obviously, I think you're right. Anytime you can avoid West Virginia from getting those explosion plays, that's going to be a big key.
Yeah.
You know, as bad as things were last week, when it counted, ECU kind of kept Appalachian State in front of them, at least. There were no explosion plays or anything like that.
They did what they had to do to win. And after each West Virginia game, being there three times, they always play John Denver, who I used to be a fan of.
You used to like John Denver.
But now I can't stand the man. And they play Country Roads every time they win. So hopefully, for the first time, we never beat those guys. We can finally mute that song and I have to listen to it. We can go home and play
Purple Haze.
The Purple Haze.
There
That's
you
right.
go. All right. Smith Hardy, big things happening. Both on the scoreboard.
It looks like an upset over Michigan State. A 47-yard field goal for Central Michigan has given a boost to Central Michigan as it looks like they're going to go on and beat Michigan State 29-27 with 3 seconds left in the fourth.
All right, if we get a final before that game or before we leave the air here, we will update you on that. And they're in overtime as well, I might add. Fresno State and Wisconsin, the three of the big four, if you will, in the state one today as well.
UNC wins a close one, 12-10. They had a it was a drag out, knockdown drag out. Duke routed Army. Can you believe that?
Made a quarterback change.
35-19. And Wake Forest beat Stanford 24-17. So looks like some wins across the state. So three wins.
Yep, and then State and Murray State tonight. East Carolina, West Virginia coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will get you set for that as we have here all day long. The place to watch it, BW3s. That's where you want to be right here to come out and take a look at the game today. Well, big thanks to Matt Butler. A maiden voyage today. I thought it went well. You did great.
I was nervous to begin with, but I enjoyed it. I look forward to continuing to do it.
It was your opening game. It's like the opening
That's
game
right.
jitters, right?
That's where you got the butterflies, but once you get into the game, I got used to it. I felt comfortable. So.
You did a great job. Matt Butler, thanks to him. Also, thanks to Justin Davis for keeping us online today. Rockin' John Creech back in the studio. Smith Hardy for all the scoreboard updates. Also, to the great folks here at Buffalo Wild Wings. They've been a great host to us here today. And we do appreciate Eric and everybody doing a great job here with us today. Next week, we will be on the air at 9 o'clock. Panera Bread, 9 to 11. Our Pirate Game Day countdown. Get you set for the Heels and the Pirates. Come on out. Watch the Pirate game here on ESPN 360 today as they take on West Virginia. So long, everybody.
Greenville weekday mornings from 6 till 9. Talk of the Town with Henry Hinton on the new Talk FM 94.3 WTIV, Farmville, Greenville, Washington.
Defensive line, Brandon Graham, real talented end for Michigan, trying to get in the face of Jimmy Clausen, or Ethan Johnson for Notre Dame, trying to bother to take Forcier and Denard Robinson for Michigan. Whichever side wins that matchup, whichever defensive line can be more of a factor in this game, I think that team comes out on top.
Dave, no matter what, every game in Ohio State that's played at the Horseshoe, or granted, anywhere that Ohio State plays, their fans, it's the biggest game of their lives. This one tonight, you know, they played USC many times.